Well, I said earlier we had a kind of a special Sunday this Sunday. A lot of you guys know that Megan Lusher left here, about 13, 14 weeks ago, I guess it was now, to go to Marine Corps boot camp. And it's nice we're still a small enough church where we can, you know, kind of switch some things around. And so I actually asked Megan if she would come up and share just for a few minutes kind of what God did in her through this time there at boot camp. So I was stationed at Parris Island for 5 years, lived in Beaufort, South Carolina for 18 years. And so I am very familiar with Parris Island. But my experience on Parris Island is much different than Megan's. So Megan, why don't you come up? Private First Class Lusher, I guess it is, would be more appropriate.
Good morning. I'm Private First Class Lusher. I am fresh out of boot camp. I literally graduated 2 days ago, so I'm here on boot leave. It's so good to be back. I miss my family. I miss my friends. I miss this church. So it's good to be back. Before I joined the Marines, I was that teenager who was just starting to wrap up high school, getting ready to figure out what to do with her life, and I honestly had no idea. You could ask anyone in this congregation who knew me, and I was changing my career plans about 100 times a week. I had no idea what to do with my life. And then my mom encouraged me to go out, and I was in the junior ROTC at the time at Forest, so she encouraged me to go out and pursue a military career, like start talking to recruiters. So I was like, okay, I'll go do that. So originally, I was going to join the Army, but then the Special Olympics came along, and Lauren was competing in it at the time, and the Marine Police were there helping out the community service event. So I was like, okay, I kind of want to go talk to them, because the Marines have had my highest respect for I don't know how long. I didn't think I could do it, so I kind of wrote that off as far as careers went. But Sergeant Munoz was there, my recruiter, and she talked me into it, so I enlisted in the Marines. I was in the delayed entry program for 2 months, I think, less than 2 months, and I shipped out on May 10th. And so phase one comes along. Phase one is easily the hardest phase of boot camp. Boot camp is the best, worst thing I've ever done, but phase one was bad, because that's when your world gets turned upside down. You know, you've just been stripped of your civilian identity or your individuality, everything. Now you're living on someone else's clock. You're being told what to eat, when to eat. You're being told what to do, when to do it. 24/7, you're go, go, go. You're never staying still. You're never resting. And, I mean, that's uncomfortable. It's hard and it's uncomfortable, naturally. So, recruits, naturally, every recruit finds something to turn to make them feel comfortable. And sometimes it's like for me starting off, it was chow. Like, even though we didn't get any time to eat chow and we didn't get to eat a whole lot of it, to me, like, food became my comfort. And it's not smart. Don't do that. But, like, unfortunately, that was my coping mechanism at the time. But recruits learn pretty quickly, too, that Sunday is the best day of the week. Doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not. And the reason for that is because Sunday is church. And at church, there's not really any drill instructors there. So even if you didn't go to church, you went to church. It's great because that's a great avenue for the gospel to be preached. Like, I know there were a couple of recruits in my platoon at first who did not go to church. But like I said, they learned pretty quickly, and they started going to church, and they all heard the gospel. And church in general was just refreshing. Like, you got to hear God's word, which, you know, you didn't realize how desperately you craved until you've been stripped of everything that you knew and took for granted. Once that all that's been taken from you, you realize how desperately you need God and how desperately you need him. So that was refreshing. The worship was refreshing. We got to sing, and we were allowed to actually kind of like dance and express ourselves. So that was really nice too. So church Sundays quickly became my favorite day of the week, purely for church. Like, I didn't care about getting an extra hour every time. I just wanted church. I just wanted to go to church, hear the word of God. I wanted to worship. And it was really cool, like, how much I craved him and how much I was seeing that I needed him. Then phase two started coming along, and that's the part where it's supposed to start getting a little bit better. Not easier, but better. That was not the case with my platoon. My platoon sucked. So we were constantly... That's the part where they're supposed to start building you up. We were still... Nope. But at the end of the day, every day for 5 minutes, they gave us devotional time. So, like, we had time to read our Bibles. Around phase two, I started realizing 5 minutes of devotional time was not enough. I needed more. So after lights, whenever we would hit the rack, I would sneak out my Bible, and I started reading it. I was right by my senior drill instructor's office, so I had the light coming from her office to read by. And I had my flashlight or my moonbeam if that didn't work. Then I started getting up. We'd always get up at 0400 for lights. I started getting up at 03, sometimes 2:30, to read my Bible because I needed more time to read it. And I really grew closer to God in that respect. I started paying a lot more attention, and I started craving God's word more, which is interesting because starting off, like before boot camp, I didn't have, like, that was a discipline for me that was hard, was reading my Bible regularly. But after boot camp, I was like, that was easy. That was all I wanted. I was well known in my platoon for being the girl that always had her Bible out. Like, it was, I wanted to read the word of God. But because of that, I also became well known as, like, I wanted to be the guide or the squad leader in my platoon. That would have been nice. But I was recognized more as a spiritual leader. And we started doing a thing before any big event, whether we were hiking, whether we were doing final testing, final drill, whatever, we would do a group prayer. And I was asked to lead those group prayers. And it was really cool to see because there were a lot of people in my platoon who really didn't believe in God that much. Like I said, they went to church, but it was just to get away from it all. And it was really cool to see God working through that. Like, we did a hike, a 10K hike to the range. And I prayed that one of the things that we prayed for as a platoon was that no one would fall out of the hike. In our sister platoon, we had 5 people fall out of the hike. No one fell out of ours. And so it was really cool to see God taking care of us with little things like that. Same thing with final testing, final drill. We were praying for that, and God protected us. Whereas we failed initial drill miserably, final drill we did fairly well as a platoon, and then same with testing. We had 5 people fail initial testing, but then final testing, no one failed. And it was just really cool to see God taking care of us in little ways like that. And then it was also really neat to see, especially during phase three, this started happening more, but I had a rack mate who was an agnostic. And like I said, she was one of those people. She started going to church and stuff like that, and I was praying for her. And next thing we knew, she had a Bible, and she was reading it constantly. She was always reading it. She was always, and asking about it. She was asking a lot of questions. And she became a Christian through that. And so it was really cool to see God working in ways like that. And there'd be people that would be, like Catholics who would come up to me who had never read a Bible before. And they'd be like, how do you read this? What do you do? Where do you start? And, I mean, I just thought it was really cool to see God working through that, to see them, like, craving the Word of God more. And, I mean, like I said, it's because boot camp, it's uncomfortable. And when so much of what you know and love and what you've taken for granted is gone, where do you turn? And a lot of people were turning to God. And throughout the Crucible, it was very similar. It was definitely demanding physically and mentally. But with, like, our platoon was constantly, we were, like, encouraging prayers. We would always be getting into our little prayer groups. And we made it through. Whereas my platoon as a whole was terrible with teamwork, our teams were really good with teamwork. We weren't bickering and arguing as much. We were looking out for each other. And it was really cool to see that sisterhood. And it was through prayer that we really got that sense of unity and teamwork out of where we couldn't get it through any other way. So we made it to the Crucible. We all graduated by the grace of God, by the grace and mercy of God. And I can't wait to see what else God is going to do through my career in the Marines in the future. Because I know that even though boot camp right now is the hardest thing I've ever done, it's not going to be the hardest thing I ever will do. Like, there's going to be more challenges and more adventures ahead. And God's going to show himself in the exact same way that he showed himself here. But before I wrap it up, I want to share a particular story that happened in phase two, and it was during the range. And God, I struggled to adapt to military lifestyle in the beginning. So I was constantly getting threatened with getting dropped. I mean, I snapped into it, and I finally figured it out. And, like, my drill instructor saw that, so that was nice. But, like, when they drop you, it's basically they take you to another platoon that's behind you in training days, and you have to start from there. And you don't get to graduate with your platoon. So I was constantly getting threatened with that. And but every time I came close, this close, some act of God's mercy always held me up. And one example was at the range where if you're a safety violator, if you violate one of the 4 safety rules, you get dropped. So one of the commands that they have is you do not fire after the command ceasefire. After the tower gives the command ceasefire, you don't shoot your rifle. Which makes sense, right? I mean, you need to follow the like, you need to be, it has to be a controlled shooting environment. And so, like, that's dangerous if you shoot after the command ceasefire, because what if you do that in combat? Like, you could hurt, someone innocent could get killed or hurt if you refuse to follow orders. Well, we were about done with the slow fire, and I had one last round in my chamber, and I didn't know how much time I had left. All I knew was, get that round out of your chamber, shoot it now. So I commit to the shot, and right as my rifle goes off, ceasefire. Now, because I had shot that close to the command, that was considered shooting after the command ceasefire. So naturally, the coaches get me up, they march me to the yellow footprints, and I was getting dropped. And I didn't know if I could handle that. Literally, I was sitting there and I was bawling. I was like, I don't know if I can be on this island any longer than I have to. And it was because I did something stupid too. Like, forget the fact that I just got injured. I did something stupid. And there were two other girls with me at the time who had done something similar, who were also getting dropped. One of them did get dropped that day. But for some reason, our block non-commissioned officer in charge comes up to me and goes, well, okay, what are you going to do now? And of course, I'm sitting like, well, okay, I'm getting dropped. So I said, sir, this recruit is getting dropped, so she'll just go to another platoon. And he goes, no. What would happen? What would you do if for some reason, out of the goodness of my heart, and I was in a good mood today, I decided to give you a second chance? And of course, I'm sitting there like on the inside. I'm like, what? That doesn't happen. Like, I've asked people who have been dropped from the range for safety violations. They don't get second chances. None of them got a second chance. And so, of course, I was like, sir, this recruit will not fire after the command ceasefire ever again, sir. And he said, okay, good. Go away. Don't do it again. And I was sitting there like, that's impossible. There's no way that should have happened. Like, and that's been the story of boot camp, is little impossible things like that every day. God was taking care of me. He was watching out for me. And even though I knew there was no guarantee that I was going to graduate August 5th like I thought, God took care of me. And I just want to share that with you guys. Like, God does impossible things all the time. And if you're faithful and if you're doing to the best of your ability what God has given you to do, He's going to take care of you. And I mean, that doesn't guarantee that it's all going to go smoothly, but He's got it. He's sovereign. And so no matter what, you can trust Him that if you know you're doing what He wants you to do, you're set. So that's all I had to say, and thank you.